Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, Lewis.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Oh,
welcome back after a successful television run. And now you get to graduate to the mighty and expensive world of podcasting.
It was ironic to make a television show to tell people to not make a podcast. And immediately after this television show, I get to make a podcast.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah,
I like that you were trying to cut down competition. I think that's very wise in this economy.
Yes, thank you very much. Can I just say how thankful I am for the pandemic to actually get a job? Because if the pandemic didn't happen, I wouldn't have had a job for a very long time.
Yeah, it's a depressing reality that the only time you're useful is when the world's falling apart.
And God bless the world falling apart.
It's great to be back. I've missed this.
I've missed it too. And has there been any news? Who knows? Who cares? But good news is, Lewis, this show is being funded a little bit through the Bertha Foundation.
Yeah, give us the certificate, Obama.
I'll tell people a little bit about that in the coming weeks. Also, the Patreon has been paused for this month. So because I think I didn't know how to pause it. I think I ripped off a whole bunch of people who gave us money. So it's been paused for this month and maybe even next month. Who knows? Who knows how many months we're going to go by without actually charging people for the Patreon. But we do have a couple of Patreon members who've signed up to be $10 supporters. Big thank you to Andrew Wetherill, who is an ambulance chopper pilot. He flies CareFlight in Sydney. And he goes around and picks up little kids and takes them to hospital. He's amazing.
We should be giving him money. What's going on?
Well, obviously he's in a job, so he's giving us money. So thank you very much, Andrew.
What a legend.
Also, a big shout out to our friend Anita Jacoby, TV producer legend. She's dropping in $10 a month to support us as well.
Thanks, AJ.
Yeah. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm recording my end of this podcast on the land of the Gadigal in the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. Let's start the show.
A rational fear contains naughty words like Brexit, Canberra, fair dumb, and Section 44. A rational fear recommends listening by immature audiences.
Tonight, job cuts at the ABC may surprise many staff members, particularly B1 from Bananas and Pajamas, who admits the news caught him unawares. And Kanye West launches a new campaign slogan, Make America Unprecedented Again. And with the army patrolling the New South Wales border, things have gotten so desperate for Victorians that thousands are lining up to get into South Australia. This is A Rational Fear.
A Rational Fear.
Welcome to Irrational Fear, podcasting from my bedroom in freedom-loving New South Wales. For the first time, not for the last time, I'm your host, Dan Illich. Let's meet our fearmongers for this week. He is in one of Melbourne's lockdown postcodes because his jokes are so infectious. He's returning fearmonger, Yanni Agisalo. Yanni,
Hello, mate.
What's one thing that you wish you did before this recent lockdown?
Oh, Jesus, establish a career.
And our next fearmonger is also, well, she also was in a lockdown postcode before the whole city got locked down. She's a singer, dancer, actor, cabaret performer. Her neighbours either love her or hate her. It's Isabel Vallette. Hello, Isabel.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Well, and how are your neighbours coping with your relentless singing, dancing and acting next door to them?
They don't like it. I've been hosting a lot of kids' parties on Zoom right next to my door. I sing a lot of Elsa. And the other day, one of my neighbours said, "What are you?"
Excellent. And he is so tall, he doesn't care about your short people micro droplets. His head in the clouds, it's Lewis Hover.
Hello. Yeah, that's right. You just try sneezing on me.
A little later on, we're going to be talking with Dr. Vyong Sharma, who is a doctor on the front lines of COVID-19 in Melbourne. He's been working hard in those quarantine hotels, not doing what we all think you think he's been doing. No, he's not a security guard. He's a doctor. He's a doctor, people. And also, he's been doing a bunch of telehealth sessions with folks in Housing Commission estates of Melbourne. And also, we'll find out a bit more about this, he's also a magician. But first, let's get into our fears.
You're listening to Irrational Fear.
First fear for tonight. He said it was a media hoax. He said it was a left-wing conspiracy to get him out of office. He also said that social distancing is for fools. He is the head of state of Brazil, a country with 70,000 confirmed deaths from COVID-19. And this week, it is confirmed that Jair Bolsonaro has tested positive for COVID-19. Isabella, did he have it coming?
He sure did. Look, he's we know this guy. He's not a good guy. He's homophobic. He hates women. He's all the usual stuff of a person that calls themselves abiding by traditional family values.
He sounds like a member of the National Party. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. And he's been quoted as saying to his colleagues privately that that masks are for fairies is kind of the closest translation.
I saw you do the air quotes there, Isabella.
Yeah,
Was that part of the actual quote?
Well, no, that was just for accuracy. Look, the reason why I did that, Yanni, is because there's a few different levels here. It's been translated from Portuguese, so right. It wasn't literally for fairies, but it was a slur. It was a homophobic slur.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so he said that it was wearing masks was for fairies. He's been out there hugging people's babies.
There is nothing more heterosexual than getting coronavirus. I think we can absolutely agree.
I think he must have also just read that, like the Tinkerbell story, and heard that she dies. And he's like, well, that's...
Wait, what?
You know.
Whoa, excuse me. Tinkerbell dies?
Spoilers.
Unless you clap to bring her back to life. You know what I mean?
This is huge.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine a Brazilian's kind of like, they're going, oh, our president is dead. Shall we clap? And everyone's like,
yeah.
In many respects, I think COVID-19 is the great leveler. COVID-19 is kind of like an authoritarian leader. You can't negotiate with it. You can't compromise with it. If you're stuck up to it, you're going to get burnt. And the only way to get rid of it is to stay inside for a few months and hopefully it gets bored and there's no one to play with. That's how it works.
That's it. And it's interesting that you have just put that out there, because he said that he is only human and that this proves it. So perhaps he's talking about the fact that he shouldn't be characterised as a virus.
That is in stark contrast as to his words about the virus some months ago. Here is him, I think, in March talking about the virus.
Given my history of athleticism, if I was to be infected with the virus, I would not have to worry. I wouldn't feel it. It would be like a little flu or like being under the weather.
That's big ups. Big ups, Bolsonaro.
I tell you, the people who are really feeling it are the people who are in his press conference this week. There was a whole bunch of journalists who had their mics out interviewing Bolsonaro, and then all of a sudden Bolsonaro took a few steps back and took his mask off just to prove that he's the bigger dickhead without the mask as he is with a mask. It's incredible.
I mean, normally, like, you know, toxic levels of machismo only endanger the person who possesses them, you know, but obviously now he's got, like, one of the world's largest countries. And, I mean, so I was looking up some of this stuff on him today. Like, he said Brazilians have a natural immunity to it. So, I mean, I'd hate to see the statistics if they didn't. The other thing he said was, you know, they were like, oh, so what do you think about this disease? And he was like, well... we're all going to die one day. Like, and I thought about it and I was like, well, number one, do you really want your leader in the middle of a pandemic to be a nihilist? And,
do you really ever want your leader to be a nihilist, really?
Yeah, probably not. But I think he meant it literally. Like, he's like, you know, when he said we're all going to die one day, I think he meant like one of these days, all of us are going to die. Like, all of us in Brazil will die on the same day because of my decisions.
Yanni, why don't you just point out to me where he was wrong in that statement? Please. Well, please.
You're right.
Please
you're,
point out to right. me where I he was mean, wrong in that statement.
Do we need
Bolsonaro to is telling the truth, Yanni.
Are we okay? Yeah, to clarify what you're saying, Yanni, are you saying like quite literally he believes that there will be one day where everyone will die?
Yeah.
Is that everyone what you're saying?
In Brazil. I think he's actually aiming for it. You can tell by his policies. Like, you know.
I'm busy in August, so if it can be either side, that'll be great.
He's shooting for the apocalypse. I like, obviously, you never want anyone to get sick. Never. Like, no, even if they are people who seem to be begging for it. But it is like there has been a kind of a case of what almost feels like a sort of karma-rona situation with some of these people when they get it. And you're like, obviously, I don't want you to die. I don't want anyone to die. But you've been desperate for this. Like, you've walked into this 1,000 times. You're a man in a field of rakes. How have you not been hit yet?
And there is only one other person on this planet where it would be absolutely delicious for them to get for them to get coronavirus. But unfortunately, that person is such an anal retentive and clean freak. There's no way Donald Trump's ever going to get it.
And he's got such small hands as well. Like, he's not that much to sanitize.
It's like everyone else is singing happy birthday twice or whatever. He's just getting out. Ha, done. Tiny hands. Yeah.
Done on the first note.
Yeah.
Irrational Fear.
Donald, you have the most beautiful hands.
Your fear is rational.
Fearsome fear number two, Pauline Hanson has been banned from Channel 9's Today Show after her racist comments about immigrants in Melbourne's Housing Commission apartments.
They're alcoholics, so they're being looked after that way. They're actually getting paid extra money. Why are they getting paid extra money? A lot of these people are from non-English speaking backgrounds. Probably English is their second language.
Since they haven't banned her yet, a big congratulations to Channel 7 Sunrise for being the undisputed champion of racism free-to-air television. Yes. Ooh,
undisputed? Really? Not Studio 10?
Well, they haven't.
I feel like it's a heavyweight bout.
Maybe CAC. Who knows? Who knows?
You guys maybe should have your own award that you can kind of like, you know, you can both vote on it.
The director of Morning TV for Channel 9 tweeted a statement from the director of news. The statement was, following the unacceptable comments made by Pauline Hanson on the Today Show, we've made the decision to discontinue her regular appearances on our program.
Did they specify which day the unacceptable comments were made, or did they just mean any time over the last two decades?
They said unacceptable. They're certainly not unsurprising, though, is it?
I agree, and also that I find that statement to be very open-ended.
Yeah, very much so. She'll no longer be appearing as a regular contributor. Like, she'll be irregular. She'll be on twice as much but different days every week.
She was always irregular.
Also, the tweet said, on our program, which makes me think, all I'm saying is that Sam Newman left a very Pauline Hanson-sized gap on The Footy Show, and it'd be great to have Pauline on The Footy Show.
My God, a Queenslander on the AFL Footy Show. That's the real controversy.
Yanni, is this a big deal for a TV network, do you think?
Is it a big deal? Look, I mean, I every week that goes by, something happens and I just kind of like shake my head and I have to kind of just renegotiate with myself whether I understand the world that I live in now. Like, I think like it's almost like a bit of a race to the bottom in a lot of these things where everything is just premised on attention. And so, you know, and like they Today Show put up a tweet like straight after before they had their epiphany about how it was unacceptable about like, Pauline's made some controversial statements. You know, why don't you tell us what you think? Has she gone too far this time? I mean, so it's just really painting it as like, listen, you know, you knew exactly she was going to say something like that and you're dangling it in front of everyone for clickbait. So don't act like you're all holier than thou now. Like, it's very, I don't know, it's very upsetting.
I find, obviously, like, this is a really important thing and you have to get her off, and these shows need to stop enabling racists. And that's a locking that off, agree. One of the things that surprises me about the conversations about Today Show anyway is, like, the ratings of that show are 350,000 people to begin with. This is one of the least important shows on television.
Even
Why
less.
Why does anyone talk about them? Like, do they? I guess just they need to be racist for anyone to care. 350,000. That's nothing.
Yeah, it's also like I think that that's a big number. That I think they're even less. I think they're like in the 100s. They're like they're absolutely that's, nothing.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like your average TikTok is getting more views than that.
Well, this is when I hitchhiked from Hobart to Airlie Beach for the 2016 election. I met Hanson supporters at the bottom of the country and Hanson supporters at the top of the country, and they were just glued to her Facebook page. And her Facebook page has so many more followers than any TV network. And that's the scary thing. Like, she actually doesn't need mainstream media. She actually doesn't
Need her to pull them up into people's eye lines, you know. It's just, yeah.
Facebook are going to do something about the whole racist content, right? They're onto that. That all seems fine.
We're actually going to be talking with Mark Zuckerberg a little later on, Lewis.
Oh, he's on.
He's on to this.
Oh,
on the show.
Great get. I can't believe you didn't put that at the top of the show. What a get.
I know. It's almost like it's a pre-recorded sketch and not a real thing.
He should become a Patreon subscriber, frankly.
Fingers crossed. It's really interesting to kind of see this. The day that that happened, the day she was deplatformed off the Today Show, she tweeted, "For anyone looking to get me kicked off more TV and radio shows, I'll be appearing on The Following tonight, 7 p.m. across Australia with Peter Gleeson, 7:30 p.m. The Bolt Report with Andrew Bolt, both on Sky News." She's doing back-to-back Sky News, and she doesn't even have a show named after her.
You got to love the idea of hiring yourself out in order to be kicked off. Like, I mean, that's when you kind of know what your whole sort of shtick is, really.
At the bottom of that tweet, she did say, "I am on tomorrow 7:30 a.m. with Marcus Paul on 2SM, which I think is great because the only people who listen to 2SM are in palliative care. So that's nice.
Irrational fear!
It's about wanting that notoriety and, of course, getting it any which way you can. The more shocking, the more frightening, the more likely it is to get airplay.
It's now time for Hang On A Sec. This is where I'm going to play you a clip, and when you want to stop and mention something in the clip, just yell out, "Hang On A Sec," if you've got something to add. Now, this video comes from Twitter. A bloke called Cam Smith, who's a great podcaster from the Hypothetical Institute podcast, follows some incredible QAnon Australian conspiracy theorists. And this bloke, his name is Simon Maskey. He's a Queenslander who brought two of his fellow conspiracy theorists down from Queensland to Melbourne to basically free the good people of Melbourne from the tyranny that is the police. I'm going to play a clip. When you want to chime in, just simply say, "Hang On A Sec," and chime in. Here we go. Here is Simon Maskey.
Simon Maskey here with Simeon behind me. We've just got some news. The World Health Order organisation has crumbled. They've admitted it's all bullshit. We're heading into Melbourne, everybody.
Hang on a second. Could we confirm that little bit of information? I feel like he may be taking a very broad brush to one of the WHO's announcements.
But also, he first called it the World Health Order, which could well be a website. Like, if you went to World Health Order, like .com/geocities/566/john/, there probably is like a website that says, "Guys, it's all bullshit."
He's even referring to the new World Health Order itself.
Ooh,
like that is
nice.
A bullshit organization.
Yeah, and they've come out to say that our bullshit is actually bullshit. Sorry.
I think it's like they're all collapsing into one sort of like conspiracy theory. Like, it's the new World Health Ordinati.
Here we go. Simon Maskey in his car on the way to Melbourne from Queensland.
120 Racecourse Road, Flemington. Now, understand we're going in there understanding that we are under oath to General Flynn. Okay?
Hang on a second.
Is that General Flynn, like the American guy?
Yeah, General Flynn, by the way, he's referring to General Flynn, the American general, who, by the way, is no longer a general and has been...
Yeah, that's right.
And has recently been in jail. Yes, that General Flynn.
But he's still issuing orders. He's still running stuff from behind bars.
Well, he's running Simon Maskey.
All the way down to Australia.
He's running Simon Maskey from Queensland.
And he's right. And from prison as well, he's like getting all the other four-star generals together and going, "Guys, Racecourse Road, Flemington. That's Flemington. The next attack.
Let's go."
"We have the Australian common law, the Magna Carta behind us. I am now calling to every able man and woman to come to 120 Road.
120. Hang on a second. Bit ableist, isn't he?" There's got to be some patriots in wheelchairs who'd like to get involved. I think that I'm starting to not like this guy.
That was the one that turned you.
What if Tim Ferguson wanted to come and liberate Melbourne? You know, he's a national treasure.
And knowing Tim Ferguson, he actually would be up for that.
He would be up for that. Maskey doesn't want any of Ferg's help.
Did we have a Magna Carta? Did he say Australian Common Law, our Magna Carta?
I think he said the Magna Carta.
He evoked the Magna Carta as a separate entity.
He's pulling it in from sort of, you know, medieval England. This guy's a real Renaissance man, you know. He knows it all.
The people who wrote the Magna Carta were well across Instagram stories too.
They're also QAnon members.
Yeah, like one of the first things in the Magna Carta is like, shoot your videos in landscape.
Ouch, chopper.
Race from above.
There we go.
Flemington, Melbourne. You can contact us. I'm going to put up a link to show where we are and how far we are away from that address. I'm going to post it on here. We're going to meet around the corner.
While they're driving?
Yeah, so he's driving at the moment. I think he's actually in the passenger side of the car.
So it's okay. He's doing the admin.
Yeah, he's doing the admin. I think his wife might be driving, and he's got his compatriot in the back seat. So
he's got the Melways and the Qways and the Magna Carta. It's all there in the glove box.
Where we are and how far we are away from that address. I'm going to post it on here. We're going to meet around the corner and we're all going to go. Any police, any armies there, they're going to be disarmed by us.
Any armies? Hang on a second. Any armies? So not even necessarily the Australian army. Like, you know, there could be any country, any army.
It could be Tony Abbott's Green Army. It's going to take the shovels off them.
The Taylor Swift army on Twitter. Get them all together.
It could be the writers of the Army Man comic.
it could be the Barmy army, just in for the test
cricket. Dumbledore's army.
But it can't be a guy with one army because he hates that.
Only the able-bodied.
There's to be no anger, no shouting, no nothing. I'm going to go forward.
Wait, hang on a second. No nothing.
Yeah.
Wait, so there's to be no anger, no shouting, in fact, no nothing. Nothing is to happen whilst you're there.
And you'll see in subsequent clips that nothing actually does happen.
It's a very zen sort of way, kind of like, there's going to be no aggression, no attachment, because that is the root of all suffering. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be nothinging our way through these multiple armies. Like,
this guy's on a mission to free you. And look, this is how you're treating him, Yanni.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, you've got to fight Dumbledore's army with something.
Here we go.
He's got a bunch of Dementors in the back.
You need to trust in me, knowing that Simeon and I both believe in what we're doing, and we know that we're in the right and we're protected by God.
That's good stuff. I love it. Like him just going forward. It's real like rugby league chase. It's like, I'm just going to run straight. I'm going to go forward. Cattle dogs, just let's get this done.
People, get down there if you're in Melbourne. Ignore them, drive straight through, travelling under common law.
Hang on a minute. Ignore them or drive straight through. I feel like those two are pulling in very different directions.
Well, it depends on which army.
Yeah, do you ignore the army or do you drive straight through the army?
But before he was saying that they were going to park around the corner. So I feel like the plan is on really shifting sands here.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Lewis. This guy's story, I'm struggling to find a through line.
Just keep going forward.
Get a pen, write it on your windows of your car. Travelling under common
law. Hang on a second. Pens don't work on windows of cars.
No, but if you believe they do, and you've got God on your side, they do as well.
Yeah, and if you write travelling under common law, you can drive through armies if it's gotten that written on your window through your car.
So good. It's like, gang, we're going to get the army together. We need a checklist, all right? First, get the Magna Carta. Second, God on our side. Third, pens. We're going to need a lot of pens.
I reckon car companies should like use this guy to sell their cars. They go, the new Nissan Micra Carta. Take you down to dispense nothingy justice.
I like the
army.
I like that there's somebody in a toll booth in like a toll control center in Melbourne looking at license plates being snapped and going, oh no, that guy's gotten traveling under common law written on his window. Better let him go through. That's fine.
God on his side, who is potentially the driver.
Yeah, God is my co-pilot. He's probably got one of those stickers on the back of his car.
No jurisdiction over you. Absolutely none. You're a sovereign of Australia. Hang on a minute.
This would be, if you're writing it as a comedy script, a perfect time for him to get a speeding ticket.
Now is that day. We're leading in right now. If any other groups are in there, cool, we're going to join yous. But at the end of the day, we're ready to swear everybody in under Flynn. Those who come, bring your hearts with you and your hand ready to put on.
This is the second time he's tried to have a revolution, and the first time everyone came without essential organs. You know, that guy from like Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, like he was going removing people's hearts and then kind of going, no, actually, I'll put that back in because we're going to need that.
And your other hand ready to raise to the sky and swear as God is your witness that you will remain a sovereign of this country. You will be protected
Hang
by
on
the
a second. United- Can I ask Dan, this, we're 1 minute 49 into this. He's driving down from Queensland. How long does he maintain the rage for?
Only a few more minutes. We won't play the full thing. He's almost done at this one.
Is General Flynn able to put up his hand and say that he's a sovereign Australian?
No, he's not. And this is what's great about this. Let me just play a little bit here and you'll know what he's about to say.
Sky and swear as God is your witness that you will remain a sovereign of this country. You will be protected by the United States military, and I'm then going to call to our army.
Hang on a minute. Now, I'm going to say hang on a minute for everyone else, because everyone else thinks that's ridiculous, because they're kind of like, oh, he's being all about sovereignty. Then he mentions the United States military. I say this is the only guy who sees it as things actually are. He's making a political statement about how far into the Americans' back pockets we are.
But how do you grow up in Queensland, think you are an Australian, you are sovereign, you're a sovereign person inside Australia, and then you have the protection of the United States military? How does that even combine?
I think Dan, it's because he thinks QAnon means anonymous Queenslander. and so he thinks that anyone who is anywhere could be an anonymous Queenslander, including General Flynn.
I'd be interested to see if he got down to Racecourse Road, Flemington, and the US Army was there, whether he'd go through them as well.
Yeah. He'd probably greet them and say, let's ride.
Come back under ownership of us and protect us as sovereigns and do the job. That is happening today. Have faith. We're on our way.
Wait for it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He doesn't know how to turn it off, does he? Turn it off. Oh, he's left it on. Turn it off.
It's my dad on a Scott.
Turn it off.
That's it. He's done. He's done.
Oh, thank God.
And that was hang on a sec.
Oh, my word. Right, did he ever make it? What happened at the end? I'm intrigued about the story now.
Okay. So him and his friends went to the bottom of the Housing Commission places. They approached the police. They confronted them, told them they were a traitor to their country, that they were treasonous, and that the WHO had come out to say that it was all a hoax and that they should go home. And then lockdown happened in Melbourne, and so that they posted a video saying that they needed emergency accommodation. So they ended up in accommodation. The rest of the video is another 4 minutes. It's just fantastic, but I can't. I shouldn't.
Can we do a real life version of that Great Gatsby Leonardo DiCaprio clapping gif? Like that's
right. Yeah.
All right. That was. Hang on a sec. Irrational fear.
This is Irrational Fear.
Right now, we're going to chat with our special guest, Dr. Vyom Sharma. He's a doctor on the front lines of Melbourne's COVID-19 crisis. He's the host of Radiotherapy on Triple R, and he's also a magician who has performed on Australia's Got Talent and the famous Magic Castle in Hollywood. Please welcome Vyom Sharma.
Yay! So hard to know which one of those incredible skills to begin with.
Thank you, Vyom. Thanks for coming.
No, thank you for having me. It's really, it's a weird introduction to get, despite how true it is.
I was actually on your website earlier tonight wanting to find out more information about you, and you do have a few sections of your website. You've got medical and then you've got radio broadcasting, and then you've got magician. And when I clicked on magician.
On the same website.
When I went to the magician site, it was actually down. So I thought, is this a trick? He's made his whole magician side of his business disappear.
If you look back now, it will have reappeared.
No way. I'm going to check after the show. So, Fionn, thank you for joining us. Let me ask you a quick question. How are you coping? You've been dealing with folks in quarantine hotels for ages. This is a second lockdown that's really kind of hit the whole city. How is your mindset at the moment?
I feel okay, but I've got to admit, I do get people checking in on me because I've been tweeting a lot recently. And I was just looking through just my tweets just for the last few months. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Am I okay? I'm like losing it 24/7 on social media. I'm like, it's difficult to process everything that's going on in context of the kind of work I have to do day to day.
You are one of the most interesting people on Twitter at the moment because of this situation and because you are so frustrated at how things are kind of playing out in the system. What's one of the biggest frustrations for you during this crisis right now?
Oh, look, okay, before I go into that, I will say I think on the whole we're doing things right and we've gotten a lot right. But that said, probably the most recent screw-up I'm seeing is the non-discussion of masks. It's almost like Voldemort. The state authorities just don't want to say the word mask, use masks that might actually help.
Why don't they? Why don't they want to do it? What's stopping them?
So, look, the truth is that masks have become so incredibly politicized internationally, as we're seeing in America, and a lot of people do see it as a silver bullet, which is not true. So what we've got is a health intervention that has some uncertainty around it, probably is going to help, has a lot of complexity, and people in government and public health authorities hate explaining complex things to people. They really hate it. Once you say the word masks, it's going to trigger off discussions about where's my mask, what type of mask, why are you getting this type of mask, and why we got masks in hospitals and not in schools. And they're very afraid of approaching that discussion. And I think he could have gotten away with it until now because we've had really low number of cases. But, now that we've got wider community transmission in Melbourne, it's got to stop.
You're absolutely right. The government should just stick to simple messaging and get everyone to download an app that doesn't work. That's exactly what they should do. Download an app. That'll protect you more than a mask.
I find
that was flawless communication with the app. It was just perfect. Like, totally bullshit, but my God, that worked. We just need to do that with masks, the things that will work, and we might have a chance.
So you're like definitely all for everyone wearing masks all the time?
No, so I'm all for masks now in Melbourne that we've got wider community transmission. So I think the truth is that had we used masks until now in Australia, probably wouldn't have made much of a difference. Right. This is a totally different setting now. And 100% places like public transport and hospitals, we should be wearing masks arguably everywhere in Australia.
What's the biggest misconception around COVID-19 right now for this particular spike?
So, I think the biggest misconception around it is that because the mortality rate of COVID-19 is low for a lot of the younger people, that they'll be okay. And it is true that the mortality rate of young people is low, but in context of the rise we're getting in Melbourne, we're very worried that the health system is going to be completely overrun. And then, say, someone reasonably young like me gets I don't know, like a gallbladder that needs to be taken out, there won't be any beds for me. So everyone can be affected by this. And in many ways, this second wave, we want to call it that, is worse than the first one we had in Melbourne because the first wave was occurring with international travellers coming in and they were relatively easy to track. This one is just happening in the community. We don't really know where the infection is for the most part, which is why we need to lock everything down and everyone, young and old, needs to cooperate.
It's so strange. Like, Lewis and I are outside of Victoria and Isabella and Yanni and yourself are inside Victoria. I don't know about you, Lewis, but I feel really anxious for Victorians.
Well, all my family's there, as you know.
Oh, so yeah, that's right.
I'm the only hobber out of Victoria. So I've been, every time I speak to my family there, I mean, my parents are down the country, down past Geelong. So it's all pretty quiet in the regions. But my sisters are in the city and, kids and, people recently out of hospital and mother-in-law just back from Italy had COVID. It's all like there's plenty going on. So there's almost like this term's too extreme, but like a survivor's guilt of being out here when you're constantly checking back in all my friends and family. And and you're checking in with these people, and there's not much you can do, but you just wish there was. I want to like donate sleep to my sister, you know? I'm like, how can I help?
That was such a relief to kind of see how quickly the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre and Vic Unions got together to kind of pull resources together for Housing Commission flats. Immediately when I saw the news happen, I was like, oh, my God, I'm in Sydney. I can't fucking do anything. I wish I could be there packing boxes. And then to see these grassroots groups come up and support, there must be as someone who kind of has telehealth sessions with folks in those Housing Commission flats, that must be heartening for you, Vyom.
Yeah, it really has been. So every patient I've spoken to, I've asked how things are going and what's happening in food, and it was really quite incredible over the days. So the first day, it was massive delays with food because the government was trying to provide all the stuff and logistics weren't really working out. But my God, I've learned so much about how fluently community organisations can just operate just so rapidly. And then the next day when I was having a chat, and you know, people are really quite happy with their meals and chicken curry. And
that's good.
Really, like the curry was good. Like that could not have been made by the government. Someone.
There's a guy who works at this place called Burrup Traders down near our house in West Footscray, and they're doing that. They're basically, his name's Pradeep, and they were making culturally appropriate meals for people and getting them out like along with some other community organisation. And you know, and they were asking, we've got like a local Facebook group called WeFolk, so they were asking people for donations and stuff. So like the community really kind of rallies around, and it's so good to hear you say that actually, Vyom, because I mean, you know, we kind of hear it at this end, but it's really nice to hear it come out the other end.
Yeah, I'm also glad you brought up the phrase like culturally appropriate food. Like it sounds like a small deal, but look, I've also been working at the Victorian Hotel Quarantine Service.
Yep.
And I mean, food is just one of the main kind of concerns and issues and complaint that people have. It's this thing you do three times a day, and it's got all these kind of cultural and emotional connotations. It's great to see the community could start providing immediately in this way, very quickly. And like, I mean, those people in the towers were incredibly appreciative.
I think also when it's the only thing you can do all day is eat, you know, it becomes super important. You know, I mean, I've been eating more than I ever have and drinking more than I ever have.
It's so true. It's one of the things I think we've all put on a few, you know, lockdown kilos when that's happened. And it's one of the things I've told myself and, you know, kind of patients too, which is like, try and eat as healthy as you can. But if you're going to eat, you know, something that feels a bit guilty, no, do it guiltlessly, like enjoy it. Because it's all you can do sometimes. And you might as well enjoy it.
It's definitely no month to bring up Dry July. Like anyone who even says those words, you're like, I will stab you in the eye. I'll do it. I'll stab you in the eye with the glass I'm currently holding. You back off.
I actually lost 6 kilos during our Sydney lockdown because my culturally appropriate food is KFC. So
you ketoed your way down the keg scale. Yeah.
My culturally appropriate food at the moment is stress, which means I don't eat. So I've actually lost heaps of weight.
That's amazing. Vyom, tell us, what are some of the biggest pressure points for folks in the Housing Commission places you've been speaking with, and how are they feeling right now that the rest of Melbourne is in lockdown? Do they feel better that the rest of Melbourne is in lockdown now?
Well, look, a lot has changed literally within the last 4 hours even. So all towers are now released from their hard lockdown.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
But taking back to when this all started, the number one thing that was causing everyone in lockdown grief, every single person I spoke to, was just the shock and how unexpected it was. Yeah. Perhaps unsurprisingly, they weren't completely flummoxed by, I can't believe this is happening. Why is this happening? I never got that question from people. If anything, got this incredibly nuanced understanding of, well, you know, we understand things have to happen, but we wish they told us. And the next set of questions was about how are they going to do us? So very kind of rational, good questions. There were people who were finding it incredibly stressful. There's people with PTSD to do with their encounters with authority figures and police, either here or abroad. There's people who just genuinely get claustrophobic. And this is something that I've seen in the hotels as well. Frankly, there are some other concerns that I've had. I don't know that they'll be occurring because thankfully the hard lockdown's ending. But one of the other bigger concerns was people just forced to be inside, things like domestic violence. There's really escape. So there were a lot of things we were worried about, but just even within the last little bit, we've learned that that hard lockdown is ending for all, but I think one or two of the towers. So they're just joining the rest of us in this slightly less shitty lockdown.
What happens in those situations when you find out someone, you know, has PTSD or claustrophobia or a genuine mental illness that is really, really brought up by a lockdown like that? Does the government have a plan for that?
Isn't Vyom the plan? Like, they're telling you.
You know what? That's true. So partly the talking to someone is the plan. And much of, I think, kind of modern psychology works just by people listening to their own words and being able to kind of reprocess what's happening. So that's definitely true. A lot of the other times I think I've had little to no success with this so far in the hard lockdowns, is we try to negotiate for those people to get out in some supervised way that is still safe. Is it safe for them to do so? No, but this is all about risk management and risk reduction. We can't eliminate risk no matter what we do. And just so that's something that we've endeavoured to do in the hotels until now, which is increase the number of walks because we think it's a medical necessity. But there's other things too. Obviously, as you've mentioned, you know, kind of just talking to someone helps, either me or, you know, specialist psychology services. And to some extent, if people are already on some kind of medication for mental health and anxiety, can we tinker things there a little bit? This is not the solution, we understand, but we're caught in a tough situation where we don't have the ideal solutions available. And so with the understanding and consent of the patient, we think about medications as options.
When you're on the front lines and you're going to bat for these people, who do you negotiate with to get that kind of concession? Like what? How does that actual process work? Like, who is the body? How do you kind of put forward the idea, and how do you kind of lobby that up the line?
Yeah, so that's a tough one. So look, with the lockdowns, I haven't had to do that a lot, mainly because there's been very few shifts, thankfully, because we're very early on. It becomes a matter of discussing with the people from DHHS. And the problem there bureaucratically is that the human on the other end of that is usually quite understanding, but because of the structure of bureaucracy, it becomes this thing of, well, that's not in my protocol, so either I can't do it or I have to escalate this, which means it gets written in an email and goes upwards to someone else who also looks at it and goes, that's not right, and goes to someone else until the story is just lost touch with the humanity of what's actually happening. Mm. And either you get delayed, decisions that are very delayed or don't end up happening, and that's frustrating, which is why you really need that connection with the person who's raising the concern in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of these things where, like, I mean, I hear the same thing almost across all of these discussions we're having. Like you were saying, Vyom, you have these discussions with people, very nuanced discussions. And of course they're nuanced because you're having it with an actual person and you're dealing with their direct experience, right? And I think half of the problem with what's happening with all of this, with COVID and everything, is people don't have an idea of the sort of like the details of like what's happening in these stories, and everything has to be reduced to very, very simplistic things. And people don't, I mean, it's not even, and our knowledge is changing every day. So it's so hard for people to engage empathetically with these things, because like what you were saying, like, makes 100% of sense. And I think if you said that to most people, they'd go, yeah, totally. I totally understand that. But then, you know, at the opposite end of the scale, we have what we were talking about before. We have Pauline Hanson describing the exact situation that you're talking about as it's a bunch of drug addicts and alcoholics who don't speak English. Like, I mean, that's the same situation being discussed in two completely different ways. And, you know, I don't know how we breach that, because you have that whole point about bureaucracy and trying to communicate complex things to large numbers of people. It's so hard.
Well, I think this is why it's really important to hear the voices
that
are actually impacted by this. I mean, I was just blown away by some of the articles that were published. They're actually written by people currently in lockdown that were published very quickly after it all happened. I mean, just the appreciation for the complexity that they had and everything else, you know, what kind of we're talking about. I mean, it's just galaxies of from the reduction we saw from Pauline Hanson.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, what would she know? Like, she's hearing, you know, kind of sixth hand from whatever sources she gets her information from, filtered by just the, you know, like all her
QAnon. She gets it all from the QAnon Facebook page.
She probably subscribes to that guy's podcast.
Vyom, and you know, as a magician, do you have a trick? The
rest of this question is not going to be good.
do you have one trick you do while you do telehealth? Do you have a telehealth trick you like to wheel out over Zoom?
No, I do not. I try to, when things get funky, I try to make myself disappear, but it never really. The buck stops with me. What can I do?
Dr. Vyom Sharma, thanks for joining us on Irrational Fear.
Thank you. Pleasure.
We'll leave you with this now. As we all know, the internet is completely filled with bullshit. Earlier this year, Facebook decided that it would implement an oversight committee to battle misinformation and fake news. Now, this oversight committee would do fact-checking and would let the audience know when there was terrible articles about and the article they were reading was false. But one group has amazingly been able to kind of circumvent the oversight committee. This group are climate deniers. They're often funded by think tanks and fossil fuel companies. The group has bypassed the new regime by being able to be labelled their posts as opinion rather than falsehood. At the same time, though, on Facebook, environmental scientists have been categorised as political groups and have been forced to pay money to get their content to reach audiences. To clear this up, why lies are cheap and why facts cost money, I sat down with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg, thanks for your time.
Dan, thanks for poking me.
Why does your oversight committee class climate disinformation as opinion?
Great question, Dan. For pages like CO2 Hooray and the Call is Cool Consortium, it's their opinion that the 99% of the world's scientists are wrong. And if Prince Solomon from the Crude Oil is Crude Fun page disagrees that climate change is an existential threat, who am I to stop him?
You're the CEO and founder of the most powerful information source in the world.
That's your opinion.
But you also are.
Where did you read that?
It's on your email signature.
You know, Dan, don't believe everything you read on the internet. Not every website has the integrity to have an oversight committee like Facebook's.
Why does it cost scientists like NOAA and the CSIRO to spread facts about climate change?
It's Facebook's opinion that those groups are political and should be deemed political groups, and they should pay money to reach audiences. They have money, and why shouldn't I get some?
I'm sorry, climate scientists are political groups?
Well, of course, they're very political.
How can you say that?
It's not me. I can show you hundreds of opinion pieces that say so right here on Facebook.
Why don't you just get rid of these pages that spread lies on Facebook?
Okay, Dan, imagine if we did that. Then we'd have them go off and create their own Facebook filled with disinformation and malfeasance, and that would tear the world apart.
And how is that different from Facebook today?
If they stay on Facebook, well, we get to keep the profits, Dan.
Surely that is a terrible decision for the world.
Terrible decisions get made every day, Dan. Ask yourself this. Was it a terrible decision for you to upload photos to Facebook of you drunk at a university costume party whilst wearing some culturally inappropriate makeup in September 2007?
I deleted those photos.
But did you?
Mark Zuckerberg, thanks for your time.
Are we friends now?
That's complicated. There we go, Mark Zuckerberg. That is it for Irrational Fear tonight. Big thanks to our fearmongers. Yanni, do you have anything to plug?
Yes, I'm doing my show, The Simpsons Taught Me Everything I Know, which is exactly what it sounds like, on Zoom on Saturday night, so tomorrow, if you're hearing this new, at 8:30, and you can get tickets at seriouscomedy.com.au, and they'll pay what you can.
It's a great show. Serious Comedy do great work, and do check it out, and the technology works, and it's fun to watch at home on your couch. Isabella, do you have anything to plug?
Look, I'm doing kids' parties on Zoom. My neighbours hate it, but you'll love it. So
Frozen.
You can head to my website if you want. Yeah, lots of Frozen,
Frozen
lots of princesses.
Too.
That's it, all of it.
And Dr. Vyom Sharma, have you got anything to plug?
No, because of the magic section of my website.
He's looking for a web designer who knows magic.
I do think it's kind of convenient that during the most intense medical crisis of the last 100 years, your magic side of your website's gone down, so no one can actually understand what else you do. It's actually kind of convenient. It actually kind of works.
Do
follow Dr. Vyom Sharma on Twitter. He is exciting and interesting, and he's got his finger on the pulse of the crisis in Melbourne. And Lewis, do you have anything to plug?
As always, not really. I'm still doing the same radio show. We've been doing it the whole time. The only people I've seen in the last 4 months have been my girlfriend and Michael Hing. So slide into my DMs on Instagram and give me something to talk about. I'm running out of juice. The well is dry. Help me out.
Big thank you to Jacob Round, Killian David, and Rupert Dagas, who was the voice of Mark Zuckerberg right there. Until next time, I think we're back in a couple of weeks. There's always something to be scared of. Good night.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.